This afternoon, we're just going to go straight into the filet mignon. Is that all good? Or for some of you laughter lovers, we're just going to the laughter, whatever that may have you. I have a lot to cover, and I particularly wanted to pray for some people. And that's why we kind of shifted the schedule around a little bit, because I believe I'm here for a purpose, and I believe some of you guys are here for a purpose too. And I mean, you know, we could have our agendas and plans and so forth, but it's not about us, it's about him, amen? It's about his ways, his thoughts, and that's what exactly we want to do. So with no further ado, you know, our worship is not something we start on every different service time. It's something that we continuously go on through our life, amen? I already prayed, we've done all that, we already worship. So let's go straight into the word, amen? Are you ready for the word? Can we see that up on the screen? The passage we want to consider this afternoon is the book of Ephesians 6 chapter. And I need some Bible readers, okay? I need some help, okay? So some of you maybe want to volunteer and read the passage. And I think that will cause us to kind of interact together. So I think it will be good. This is the passage that we want to consider. The topic that I want to speak to you this afternoon is about a topic of perseverance. Everybody say perseverance. Perseverance is our patient on trial, our patient of faith on trial, and that's what perseverance is. The world that we live in today is not an easy world. I'm sure it's very competitive, especially in Hong Kong with all this business, banking, and so forth. And we live in a pretty much dog-eat-dog world, and only survival of the fittest survives. And today, we as a believer, I think we also need to equip ourselves, not only for the times to come on the latter days and for the body of Christ, but also we need to be equipped for life. Amen? And so I want to just kind of give you a heart-to-heart, like a testimony. And the reason I want to give you my testimony is because what Jesus did, what Moses did, and what Elijah did is not going to really connect with you. Hey, they are these spiritual giants of faith, Hall of Famers. Hey, but I'm not Jesus. We say that all the time, right? Yeah. So I want to give you, and I'm just nobody, just like anybody, you know, every one of us from California. I'm just an ordinary person, just like all of you. So if I share that with you, I think it will connect with you a little bit more. And I want to share my life experiences, what God has done, and for God forbid, anything that I share here today, it will just glorify God, and will all the glory be given unto him. Amen. It's not about me. It's not about what I have accomplished or done. So we want to do exactly that. Ephesians 6:18. Let's all read it out together. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with perseverance. Let's read the bottom passage. In other words, long-suffering, I mean enduring till the very end, and supplication for all saints. We as a believer, if we began something, we better finish it. Too many people in life begin something and just don't finish it. Especially this morning, I talked about dreams. The dreams that God has given us. The dreams God has given you, and maybe some of you guys are not quite up there in age. I'm almost 50. And I have finished many of the dreams God has given me. God has given Joseph many dreams, not just one. God can give us many dreams. One of my dreams was to go to North Korea. I've been to North Korea twice. Next week, on Tuesday, I'm going in for a third time to do a medical conference with our medical doctor, a mission team. I wanted to write music. I wrote four CDs. One of them we have here, you're going to hear them as the angels sing. So one of the brothers came up and asked me, what church you guys go to? You guys go to Angel Church? No, Angel Church, this is the angel's name. Church is her last name, okay? Some of you guys confused. Christ is Jesus' last name. Shame on you, okay? You caught that, huh? Those people who are laughing, you've done that. All right? So we have some music and we want to minister to you. The cost is 100 Hong Kong dollars, okay? I'm not here to sell a CD, but I thought it would be very blessing to you. And Pastor Sam asked me to bring some, so we have it. And if you are blessed with it, just ask us, and we'd be glad to hand one to you, okay? Now, before I further begin, let me begin with a ring test, okay? This ring test is very important, okay? How many people here are married? Married, okay? How many people are engaged? How many people are planning to get married very soon? I think a lot of you guys need to raise hand. No, I'm just kidding. What is our first ring we get if we were about to go into a marriage? Number one. Engagement ring, right? What's the second ring? Huh? Wedding band? Yeah, you guys better know the sequences. Yeah. If you heard this before, don't jump, okay, please. Then you'll mess me up, okay? Third ring you get. Ladies, you better say this one, get this one right. What is the third ring you get? Boy, you're going to get what you asked for. Third ring you get, everybody say anniversary ring. Anniversary. Come on. You're going to get anniversary ring, all right? The fourth ring we get, and I believe this is one of my messages I preach everywhere when I officiate wedding. Listen, brothers and sisters, especially young people, we don't need to learn how to live the good time. You don't need help. But we need to learn how to live the bad times. Isn't it true? Hey, when things are good, everything is hunky-dory, right? Not too many things bother us. But when things are bad, a little bit of things get on our nerves, doesn't it? We need to not learn how to live the good times, but we need to learn how to live the bad times. I don't know, maybe this message not be appropriate for many of you. I was talking to Brother Charles last night. I slept at his house, and Charles was telling me, you know, the Hong Kong, and because of China and all, like, things are really prospering here, and it's very affluent, and there's not too many people with job problems or employment problems, but that's not the case back in state. Right now, California, the U.S. on the other side, is going through some major financial and economic shambles right now. I know a lot of people, a lot of my patients who had insurances through their jobs, and like, they no longer have insurance. A lot of people are losing their homes, going through a lot of difficulty. Maybe, perhaps you guys are not, but if you're not, then take this message as a credit. But if you are going through some difficulties in your life right now, in this very moment, and whatever that area may be, it could be a relationship, job, your career, future, I don't know, health, or I don't know. But only God knows and you know. Whatever it may be, I pray in Jesus' name that it will really help you today. And that you will walk out of here with a conquering and overcoming spirit. Amen? Amen. People who are not, if you are, things are well in your life and everything is good, well, just praise God and say hallelujah. Amen? Yeah. But remember this, take some notes today and store it as a credit. If you were to read in the book of Isaiah and 1 Kings, we find a servant of God, his name was King Hezekiah. And he received the news from prophet Isaiah that he needed to get his house in order. God was about to take his life and take him home. So he turned toward the walls of Jerusalem and he pleaded with God and says, God, remember the days that I have been good to you. Remember my deeds. And of course, God have heard his prayer and renewed and extended his life for 12 more long years. You guys remember the story? It's about storing credit. Okay, so maybe this sermon for those people, everything is well, you could store credit. And when troubles or you have a situation in your life that you really need to persevere, then maybe perhaps you could use that. Amen? All right, let's go to our first topic right here. I think you guys have heard that suffering thing before from somebody, right? Yeah, before I even said a suffering, but you don't want suffering first, you want wedding band, okay? All right, how do we persevere? Number one, praise him. Somebody read Acts 16:25 for me very quickly, please. Book of Acts 16:25. I know some of you, you know, we flew in last night. And right now it's like, I think, 1 or 2 o'clock in Los Angeles time, right? Yeah, if anybody's going to fall asleep in this place, it's going to be us, not you. Amen? All right? So we want interaction, and let's cooperate and go with it. Somebody read for me, Book of Acts 16:25. Quickly. That's good enough. Why was Paul and Silas in the prison to begin with? Were they there doing bad and they got locked up for violating a law? Were they in there for that reason? Why did they get locked up in prison? In a cold, shackling Roman dungeon. Why did they get locked up? For doing God's work. For doing God's work. There was a slave girl that was doing witchcrafting, and Paul and Silas saw that and they set her free. And her masters got mad, because they're about to go homeless, and they locked them up in prison. So whether we are doing something good for the kingdom of God, whether we are doing something of our, whatever situation may hold, what do we do when we get into trouble? And Jesus says, in this world, we will have many trials and tribulation. And when Jesus says, we are going to have many troubles, we are going to have them. The point is, are you ready to handle your problems? Depending on how we handle problems that come in our way, it can make us or break us. Isn't it true? depending on how we handle our problems, and when we have problems, we need to learn how to handle them well. We need to learn how to handle them well so that we will not go under, but that we will go over. Come on, somebody. Amen? And one of the key to do that is perseverance. We were told to persevere. It's in the Word of God. People tell us to persevere. Our parents tell us to persevere. Our peers, our counselors, advisors, whoever it may be. We were told about the subject of what? Which is perseverance. But we were not really told about the issue of how. We need to learn how. And this is where the wisdom comes in. I mean, we just praise God this morning, but I'm going to take you a praise into a different light. Number one, how do we persevere? Praise Him. That's one of the key. Praise is one of the key to get us out of the pity party and go into praise party. Come on, somebody, into throne room of God. Amen? Amen. Many of us, when we endure troubles in our life, we have this thing called pity party. Oh, poor old me. Why me? Oh, God does not love me. How many have been there? Don't raise your hand, okay? We all been there. We all have done that. But pity party does not take us out of our trouble, but the praise party does. Amen? Praise is a prayer with a melody. Has a power to change night into a day. Has a power to unlock your night. Praise brings and ushers in the presence of God. The God of Israel inhabits the praises of His people. Amen? And I have learned this principle through my bone and spine. That's why I'm here to share that with you. When we encounter troubles in our life, praise Him. Not praise Him for giving you the trouble and having you go through a difficult time, but praise Him for what He will do in and through your troubles. Come on, somebody. Amen? Amen. In and through our troubles. And thank Him in advance for what He's about to do. When we come into the presence of God, we cannot come complaining and grumbling. Amen? We enter into His door with thanksgiving and into that course with praise. Amen? Praise part. That's one of the keys. If you were to look in 2 Chronicles 20th chapter, and this is a very personal note, and I shared this with you. This is about a story of a king, okay? It's about a story of a nation that was under a turmoil. Three neighboring nations was about to take over their country, and this country was in a serious trouble. So King Jehoshaphat called unto a nation to a fast, and even the little children, and they began to pray. And in verses 20 to 12, in 2 Chronicles 12, this is what King Hezekiah said unto God. Lord, I don't know what to do, so my eyes are upon You. If You don't know what to do, if we don't know what to do, there is somebody who loves us, knows what to do. Come on. Amen? And that's the time where we need to shift and change our direction and fix and gaze eyes are upon our Lord Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith. Now, let me just be real and come down here and tell you about what my problems were. Okay, number one, there is no problem so devastating in this world if you are a parent than if your kids are sick. I think here parents, moms, I think dads, you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. I have four children. That's why my nickname is Calvin the Barbarian. The civilized people today don't have four children. Pastor Sam just qualified for membership. I wanted to have a son. He's all Korean, you know, male thing. You know what I mean? Number four, I hit home run. I got a son. Praise God. But my favorite child, I shouldn't say this. Don't record this. Send it to my kids. Okay? My favorite child is the third child. It's a little girl. And her name is Melody. And then I'm going to share a story about Melody with you today. The reason I'm sharing this, I don't want to really share this with people, but I want to share this with you because when he's really down to earth and he's real, then it will affect you. You know, we hear about what is going on in Japan, but it really doesn't affect us too much, right? Because we're not right there. But this is some story. It was not some neighbor's story or my friend's story, but it was my life story. It happened to me. And you know, when sometimes troubles happen, it comes all in bundles, right? When it pours, it rains, doesn't it? It was kind of like that. All at one time, I had these problems. My daughter has scoliosis problem, okay? I opened up for retirement at this laser skin clinic. I got into a lot of headache with that because I was just torn between two practice, doing my dental practice. And my wife, my lovely, beautiful wife, she got fired twice.
pink slip. She's a teacher. And just now, about a few weeks ago, they laid off 4,000 or 5,000 more teachers in Los Angeles, and also 5,000 more in New York City. You know, United States is going down the piss. That's all I got to say. When you start to take and undermine education, that nation is in serious trouble. Amen? I believe it's not the doctors who need to get the most pay. I believe it's the teachers. Amen? Amen. Come on, somebody. Is there any teachers in here? Teachers in here? I'm available for dinner. All right. You know why? Because it is all about us. What do you mean? You know what? Success is not really a success unless you have a successor. Amen? Our success needs to pass on to our children. If it stops in our generation or our grandparents' generation, that family has not really succeeded. Amen? Success has to pass on. And you know what? Who's going to do that? It's the teachers who's going to educate our children. You know, a lot of people, they just cut corners, just filling in their time, and then they just go home. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to brag about my wife, but my wife does not do that. I have hope in our education system in America. Why? Because there's teachers like my wife. My wife goes to school 4:30. She gets up 4:30 in the morning. She gets our kids ready. She wakes them up at 6. She packs lunch, okay? And then she sends all of us off. She goes to school at 6:30. Teachers, you guys do that? You do that? Man, I pity on you, sister. All right? I feel you, sister. All right? And then she comes home after she's done at school at 3 o'clock. She does, you know, lesson plans and all this. She's not a rookie. She's been doing this for already 5-6 years. And I tell her, I says, why don't you kind of, you know, I do that sometimes. You know, I do a remake. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Remake. Use something you already got. She's always preparing. I says, you know, you don't need to really do that. But yet I don't stop her. You know why? Because she takes serious about what she's doing with the children. The children that was given to her hand, she wants to really make somebody out of them. You know what I'm talking about? So this is what I told my wife. I said, when she got the pink slip for the very first time, she came home and I says, Daddy, I have bad news. And what's the bad news? I got laid off. I got pink slip. Well, you got nothing to worry. You got a husband makes good money. You got nothing to worry about, sister. Just chill out. Relax. Right? And she goes like, no. But, you know, my wife, I think I should share this. My wife, she earns all of her income. Her parents, my wife is their retirement fund, if you know what I'm talking about. The kind of Korean family type of thing. So all of her paychecks, she earns, she gives it to all of their parents. I have no problem with that, you know? And I let her do that because, you know, the parents are my parents too also. It's totally good. And she does it. It's like, well, Daddy, you know, now my parents is going to become homeless. Don't worry. They live in the house. I bought it for them. You know, you don't need to worry about that. But she's still worrying. Then she got pink slip again. Right? And then I told her this. If they don't hire you back, the whole education system in the United States needs to shut down. I told her that. And she goes, Daddy, you really believe so? I goes, that's right. I'll open a school for you. Don't worry about it. All right? Yeah. And then, guess what? They hired her back just like that. Right after pink slip. I'm talking about good ethics here, ladies and gentlemen. Good working ethics. You know, we want to be, especially Christians, in workplaces. You know, you could say hallelujah and praise God and all that. If you're lousy work, you're not going to glorify nobody. You know, some of your students spending too much time in that Facebook, you know what I'm talking about? Need to spend your face in the book. Come on. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're laughing, you know that's you I'm talking to. Amen. Yeah, so that's all these problems happen all at one time. One of the things that really has devastated me was this one. This is my daughter, Melody, and that's her back. Her back by that time was 87 degrees deviated on the bottom. Okay? Yeah, you don't need to see that too much. I mean, just can you imagine this little baby here? This is Daddy's baby. You know, it's like, she goes, Daddy, I'm not a dog. Don't lick on me. And I says, no, Melody. You know, and like right before I came, she usually don't do that. I said, Melo, Daddy's going to miss you a lot. And she goes, yeah, I'm going to miss you, Liza. I said, like, Melo, you cuddle with Daddy. And go to, you know, we hug you and all that. And she's allowed to do that. And like yesterday, I saw another parent here hugging a daughter. Like, I really miss my daughter already. My whole family here are doing ministry today. Just remember that in the spirit, okay? Here you go. This is my lovely wife, Juliana, okay? There you go. Okay? Laid off school teachers. Bad, bad. And the problems add on and add on. And this is what has happened. In the midst of the time I was going through all this, I was also stressed out, overworked, and I was just overwhelmed. And when I found out that my daughter needed an emergency surgery because she's had this problem for like 10 years. And then suddenly one year, it just started to flare. And then within like 3-4 month period, the spine deviated 40 more degrees. And to me, I mean, that was like hell on earth for me, you know? One of the worst things for the parents is when the children are sick. So I know God's heart. When we are sick, how God feels about us. Amen? You know, many of us, we have a tendency to believe this performance test-oriented people. I'm talking to some of you. When you are doing well, you are doing things to please God, but at such times come around when you're not able to do that and you feel like God doesn't love you that much anymore and you're not really doing service to God. You know, one of the things that God really worships is the worship of a contrite and broken heart. That is the sacrifice God looks at more than anything else. You know, a lot of us who really are driven to perform, we have a hard time understanding them. Maybe like that video clip that we saw today. Receive from God's grace when things are not well. You know what? When we are hurting, when we are going through a difficult time, He's so much closer to us than He was ever before. You may not feel it, you may not know it, but He's there. He's there. Because I know. Because that's how I was with my dad. I took off work for 2 weeks. I was in the hospital with him. We slept in the same bed after the surgery, and then I cannot tell you all the horrendous ordeal that I went through, you know? And when all these things happened, I just literally broke down. And I say, you know, I'm a barbarian. I could handle a lot. I could take a lot, you know? And I just couldn't handle it. And as soon as my daughter's surgery was over, I just let it go. And then I just had a big crash, you know? And I didn't know what to do with myself, you know? So I got on before the Lord on my bended knee. Some of us asked, some of the saints here asked me about, how do you pray, Pastor Cal, on my knees? You know, maybe some of us don't pray on our knees. There's a very important implication beyond getting on your knees. It's about you physically surrendering it to God and, you know, showing God your submission before the Lord. It's very important. So that's exactly what I did. I think some of you guys saw the picture in the morning. Yeah, there's a little the recording studio, praise and worship room, the mission office. I was there and I knelt down. I had some music on. I knelt down and I cried out to God. I says, God, I don't know what to do in this situation. I have nowhere to turn to, so I'm looking onto you, God. My eyes are fixed on you, God. And from that, this song came about, and I'll sing it for you a little bit, okay? Is this song? I don't know what to say. I don't know where to turn. I don't know what to do, so my eyes are upon you. So tell me, Lord, show me your way. Would you help me through the night? Hear me, Lord, deliver me, 'cause I don't know what to do. When I was singing the song, I wasn't singing like where I'm singing right now. I had tears pouring down my eyes and my face, and I had my hands lifted up, and that's how I exactly did. That's what King Jehoshaphat did when the neighboring countries were attacking Israel. And through that, miracles of God happened, and the country was delivered, and there's a place, it's called Valley of Baraka. It's called the Valley of Baraka. And the place is called the Valley of Praise. Through worshiping God, he was able to be delivered from his trouble. And I believe God is not a respecter of persons. Amen? If you are going through a situation or circumstances too difficult and too big, maybe God has an answer for you. There is no situation too big, too difficult God does not have an answer for. Amen? Praise him. That's one of the first key. Second one. I just use this. It's okay. Yeah. Okay. Guard our hearts and our thoughts. Somebody read 2 Corinthians 10:4 for me and Romans 12:2. I think we all know this passage pretty by heart. Okay. Nobody's reading it for us?
2 Corinthians 10:4 and Romans 12:2. Go down a little bit more.
We are destroying speculation and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. We are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ.
Amen. It's about pulling down the strongholds and think about what you are thinking about and make them obedient to Christ. I'm talking about the Word of the Living God. Romans 12:2. Amen. The things of the world or people in the world, they conform. They change from outside in. But we as a believer, we do not conform, but we transform. That is the change that comes from within to outside. So if we need to change something, where the change should begin? The inside, not outside. A lot of us, we try to change the outside to camouflage what is going on in their life, and that's a very dangerous thing you are doing. Let's read these passages together. Stinking thinking leads to rotten life. I made up that statement. Stinking thinking leads to rotten life, and it surely does. It's actually the passage out of the book that I written, and that's basically what it is. If you have stinking thoughts in your mind, that's the kind of life you're going to live. And basically, that's what it is. That's why we need to think about what we think about. How many of us think about what you think about? We think about something and we do it, right? Or say it. But do you think about what you think about? Have you ever done that? Or am I playing with words? We need to really think about what we think about sometimes. Sometimes we be thinking about something and we caught ourselves. Like, why am I thinking about something like that? How many of you guys been there? We all have. We need to really think about it. And especially, we need to guard our heart. Why? Because our heart is a fountain of life. Amen? Life flows out through our heart. And if we have a lot of death in our heart, guess what? We're going to experience death in our life. That's basically what's going to happen. Very important. Let me use my daughter's situation here a little bit. My daughter Melody, right after surgery, on the time of recuperation, I took her out to walk. You know, because we need to do some physical therapy and so forth after the surgery because she couldn't move and stuff. And basically, she tied all of her back, okay? And I had to take her to do rehabilitation and so forth, so I was just walking with her. And like middle of the way, and Daddy, she stopped and she looked at me and she goes, "Daddy, I need to talk with you." And she goes, "What do you need to talk to me about, Mello?" And she goes, I call her Mello Jello. She goes, "Daddy, I have issue." I says, "What is your issue, right?" And she goes, "I have demons in my head." Hey, when your kid and you're a pastor says you got demons in your head, it's going to make you very alarmed. I says, "Mello, what are you talking about? What do you mean you got demons in your head?" You know, well, ever since she was a child, there were a lot of deficiencies in her life. You know, had to go through speech therapy. Matter of fact, she just finished her speech therapy. Okay, she's a junior high schooler now, 7th grade. Okay, and she goes, "I stutter. I'm not that sharp like Angeline, my second daughter. We have a wizard in the house. We call her Inspector. You know, and she says, I'm not smart like Angeline. On top of that, I have this scoliosis. And Daddy, what's wrong with me?" She said that to me, right? And as she said that to me, I says, "Mello, come here, Mello." And then I look straight into her eye, and this is what I told her. I says, "Mello, you're a champion." I said, "Mello, you're a champion." You know, these are the thoughts that was entertaining in her mind. So I said, "Mello, those thoughts are not from God. And those thoughts are not from the daddy either. Listen to daddy. And you trust daddy?" She goes, "Yeah." And I says, "As far as I'm concerned, Mello, you're a champion." She goes, "How can I be a champion? I had a scoliosis, I had speech therapy problem, and all this so forth." You know, I told her this, "Melody, not too many kids at your age. You know, I've been to children's hospital. I saw some very heartbreaking things, kids with cerebral palsy, cancer, leukemia, and, you know, while I was going over there." And I said, "Mello, you went through a life-threatening surgery, and you overcame them, and you came out alive. That makes you a champion. And I don't care, you know, what other people may say in this world, but you trust daddy, what daddy will say?" And he goes, "Yeah." And I says, "Today, I'm about to change your name. I told her, your name today is Melody Champion Now. Come on. All right? And then she goes, you really think so? He goes, Daddy really thinks so. So periodically, I remind her, I ask her, Melody, what's your real name? She goes, my name is Champion. You know, we also need to kind of examine ourselves. A lot of times when things happen in our life, we hear these voices. The voices that come from you, peers, parents, everybody. And a lot of voices that we hear are not healthy for us. But you know what? Rather than listening to what God wants to say to us, we incline our ears to things that are not of God. A lot of discouraging, pessimistic, negative thoughts that come and enter into our mind, we allow it to come through. And we tend, some of us have a tendency to entertain that. And you know what? Sooner or later, we'll be living that life. Isn't it true? We really need to think about what we think about, especially when we are going through rough times, when we are going through the troubles. Brothers and sisters, just from experience, let me just tell you straight up. When you are going through the valleys in your life, do not make very critical decisions in your life because you will make a big mistake. You will make a big mistake. We need to guard our thoughts, especially when we are going through pits in life, because we will not make a good decision. The places where we usually want to make a decision is not in the valley. That's the place where we want to plant vineyards. But decision making should happen when you're on the mountaintop. What am I talking about? When things are a little bit at peace. When you are in a good spiritual status. When you are going through a lot of struggles in your life. Many of us, we're not in a good spiritual state. Isn't it true? So when we are in a good spiritual state, make a sound mind and decision. Especially when you are going through a lot of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7, the Bible says, God has not given us a spirit of fear. Amen? Sound mind, power, and love. And what? Self-control, sound mind. We need to exercise that. You know, many of us, we are so short to listen to the negative voices of this world, especially the words that are coming from the devil. My daughter was hearing things like that, you know, and I put that to a stop very quickly. She doesn't think like that anymore because she listens to what her daddy said. We need to listen to what our daddy said right here. Amen? That's what we really need to listen to. Amen? And some of you, are, as people sitting in here today, maybe you might not think the same page as I am. And maybe your life is not in the most best situation at this time. And you are wondering, does really God exist? Or does God loves me? And what is going on in my life? Let me, through a song, put in some new thoughts in your mind today, okay? As the angels sing this song I wrote out of a book of Jeremiah 29:11. For the Bible says, when God thinks of you, it's not evil, but it's good, with hope and a future to prosper you. Amen? So listen to this song, be ministered, and be blessed. Hallelujah.
Will you?
God bless you. God is good. Hallelujah. Let's go to our next principle. 1 Chronicles 16 verses 8. Very quickly, somebody read it for me. 1 Chronicles 16, 8. Amen. One of the things we also need to learn how to do in the times of trials in our life is that we need to learn how to thank God. It's a very difficult thing to do, but listen to that statement. Pause to think for the causes to thank. You know, sometimes it could be a lot worse than what you are going through, isn't it? It could have been a lot worse. It could have been a lot more tragic, but it didn't go there. You know, when I was going through this dilemma, the health issues with my daughter, a lot of people, and they meant well. You know, they came up and said, hey, Dr. Nam, you know, I mean, I can't believe this kind of thing happened to you, you know? And it says, like, you are so faithful to things of God and serving God and helping our people and serving a church. And how could a good Christian guy like you, all these things happen to you? Brothers and sisters, listen to me. Good things happen, I mean, bad things happen to good people. And that includes Christians. Jesus says, in this world, we will have trials and tribulation. In this world. Amen? We are not exempted from going through the troubles in life because we're Christians. But God showed us how we can be an overcomer. Come on, somebody. Amen? We are not victims, but we are victors. Hallelujah? That's what God has shown us. You know, when I was going through that, so, you know, this is what I told him. You know what? I thank you for your heart, but I say, you know, nevertheless, I am very thankful. And the reason is because, you know, my wife, when she first found out that my daughter had scoliosis and she gave her a bath and when she bent over and her back was deviating, she didn't know what to do and she just literally broke down and cried and says, Daddy. And I knew it was trouble. So I ran upstairs and I saw my daughter's back like that when she was 5 years old. And this battle went on for many years, you know. And so we were both devastated, but, you know, not as much as my wife was. You know, moms, you know, there's something about moms. So I say, hey, you know what, we'll just go to the hospital tomorrow and have things checked out. I mean, she didn't sleep the whole night, and, you know, so we went to the hospital. But the moment we walked into L.A. Children's Hospital, my wife, perspective changed. She saw these kids with leukemia. She saw these kids with cerebral palsy, confined to wheelchair, totally twisted and all that. And end of the day, she walked out of the place and she said to me, Daddy, I'm thankful my daughter only has scoliosis and it could be fixed. That's what she said to me. We have a choice. We have a choice to make. Some of us are cups. If you were to think about a cup, the water is half filled. Some of our cups, for some of us, is half empty. But for some of us, it's half full. Depends on how we look at it. Amen? Same cup with half-filled water. Somebody with negative mind will look at it, my cup is half empty. Somebody with positive mind will say, my cup is half full. Amen? There was this little boy who went to a church for the first time, and he sat through a whole service without moving, and father was just amazed. And he says, son, you must love the passage or sermon the pastor preached, right? And he goes, no, not really that. Matter of fact, I didn't even understand anything he said. And I says, then why were you looking at the pulpit and just staring without moving? And he says, you know, I was looking at the plus sign in the pulpit. You know what I'm talking about? He was looking at the cross. Amen? He was looking at the plus, but cross sign. You know, it depends on how we look at things. You know, so when all this happened, I looked at myself. I've been into jungles of Myanmar for many years, and I seen the horrible situations how people live in third world countries. And, you know, I say, you know what? I'm very thankful that we have a medical insurance. My daughter's surgery cost me $500,000. We have medical insurance. I still have to pay a lot of co-payment too. My insurance picked it up a lot, but I still have to pay quite a bit. You know, and top of that, we have good doctors here. Matter of fact, I didn't know, but I was led by my brother-in-law to go see this guy named Dr. David Skag. I didn't know until later that this guy is a world-renowned surgeon. And he's on, you know, health channels, discovery channels. And I even saw him on, I was eating at this Vietnamese restaurant, and we saw him, and my daughter goes, Daddy, that's Dr. Skag. And we looked at him and said, wow. And I found out that he was like one of the top 10 pediatric orthopedic scoliosis surgeons in America. And then I said, you know what? We got to have surgeries done by him. And you know, my daughter Melody, if she were in the jungles of Myanmar in third world countries, before she was 16, she would have died. The spine would have pushed her lung or pushed her heart, and she would have suffocated to death. She would have not made it to sea. Maybe not even go to college. But I was thankful. It all depends on how we look at it. It could be a lot worse. So in the time when you are persevering in life, pause to think about the reasons you could be thankful for. Amen. I believe everybody sitting in here today, this afternoon, on Sunday afternoon, very precious time. You're not out in the beach or playing golf. Why are you here at church? Because we are thankful. Amen. Because we are thankful. And you know what? When I was in the surgery room and I saw Dr. Skag, I said to myself and I prayed to God and I says, you know what? I have a son. He's my spiritual son. He was also my disciple. He's my nephew. I live with him ever since he was a kid. And at that time, he was finishing his the medical school at UC San Diego. And I looked at him and I says, God, it will be awesome. It will be my prayer answer if he could have my son, Michael, have training done under Dr. Skaggs. What do you think it happened? God honored that prayer. Let me show you the next clip, bitch. This is Melody's back. This is what Dr. Skag done. Wow, huh? Everybody say, God is good. This is Melody's back. They fused her all the way from top all the way to the bottom. She can't really bend too much. And just recently we had another scare that her hip was rotating. So what we do? They say the next surgery may be inevitable. So what do we do? We don't know what to do. Now you guys know what to do, right? Pray! She's okay, by the way. Okay? And this is her back. This is my nephew, Dr. Michael Lim. He's doing his orthopedic surgery residency at USC. Brothers and sisters, even in the times of difficulty in our life, we can thank God and see what God does. Not troubles are really troubles in our life, but depending on how you deal with it, how you approach dealing with that problem. Let me tell you a more realistic story than this one. 26 people, I had to take them to Myanmar on a medical mission trip for 2 weeks. Okay? I had to go. But I think some of you guys saw the clippage this morning. One of my dreams was to have a medical building, to have my practice in there. So God granted that. Every month, I had to pay $15,000 in Hong Kong, U.S. dollar is no big deal. That's what I found out very quickly, okay? $15,000 in U.S., in California, is a lot of money. The building that I have, I wish I had it here in Hong Kong. I sell it and I retire. I think some building like that here, I think it will cost at least $100 million. I mean, the way the properties are costing over here, you know? I needed to get a permit to start working here, but I got stuck, and the permit wouldn't come out. For 8 months, I had to pay $15,000, $100,000. Boom, I just blew it like that. $100,000 is a lot of money in California. I don't know about you people in Hong Kong, okay? And then I had this dilemma. And then you know what? 1 week before I was about to leave to Myanmar, the permit came out. So what will be our usual response? You know, people told me, hey, you know, you got to take care of the construction, and you got to pay the construction the money and stuff, so you can't really. It's an unwise thing to do. Did I go or not go? Come on, let me ask. I told you my name was Barbarian, right? I went. This is what I said to God. I said, God, you gave me this building. You do whatever you want with it, because I'm not the owner. I'm just the manager. Amen? So I said, you do whatever you want, and I don't know, man. My head is up to here. I'm stressed out. You take care of it. You give it to me. So I took off. The construction, very irresponsible thing to do, huh? There's nothing I could do. What am I supposed to do? I mean, I had 26 people, and I had to take this team. So I said, I'm not going, and the leader is not going. Guess what's going to happen? No choice. I had to go. So anyway, the construction was going to take about a good 5-6 months to finish. I went to Myanmar, and I came back in 2 weeks, okay? When I got back, something that would require 3-4 months to do, it was already done. When I went into the building, I opened up, and all the walls were up, had the drywalls put in, had the electric lines all pulled. These people were about to finish. And I went in there, and I says, what these people doing? And says, you know, these people are, I believe one of the reasons why China is experiencing such a success today is because they are hard worker. Amen? Isn't it true? That's something we all young people really need to learn. And my workers were Chinese, majority of them. A lot of these people, they didn't even know how to speak English. And I don't know, this contractor brought all these people, and they went to work. They went to work 2 weeks straight, 24 hours a day. They wanted to get this thing done. No, you didn't really hear me. Check this out. When I got back, I looked at this. I got on my knees, and I say, Lord, I thank you. Because I had another practice, and then I needed to move out of there. And this needed to get done. So I got on my knees, and I says, Lord, I thank you. And you know what God said to me? He says, Calvin, you take care of my business, and I will take care of your business. That's what he said to me. We seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness first, and I believe all things will be added on. Amen? And you know what? It's not about the blessings that come in this world. It's in God's hand. Amen? Nobody can bless our life better and more than what God can do. Amen? But, you know, we got to learn how to delight in the Lord. You know, the Bible talks about Psalms 37:4. Those who delight in the Lord, God will give him the desires of their heart. Amen? God is not obligated to meet our desires, but he's obligated to meet our needs. Amen, as a father. Delight in him and see what God does in our life. I guarantee you, something powerful is going to happen to all of our lives. Amen? Here we go. Number four. This is a picture I just recently take. I went to co-officiate a wedding in Philadelphia. This is you know, who is this? This is Rocky Balboa. He's one of my guys, you know? And I went in there and I took a picture there. And the reason I put that picture there is because there's something we all also need to learn. Okay? 2 Corinthians 4 chapter verses 8 and 9 is about a story of Apostle Paul. He says, I am cast down, but not destroyed. You guys remember that? You want to talk about trials and troubles? Paul went through them all. Being stoned 3 times, thrown into prison, going many days, drifted out in the ocean. You want to talk about hardship? Paul went through them all. He knows what it is. But this is what Paul has to say about that. Struck down, but not destroyed. Brothers and sisters, when you feel like the things are over, it's not over. You know when it's over? When God says it's over, it's over. Come on, somebody. Amen? And when you feel like when you are down to nothing, I'm telling you, God is up to something. Come on. Amen? When you feel like it's done and over with, God is up to doing something. I learned this from experience in life. Amen? He's always working on our behalf. The problem is we take too many vacations. That's the trouble. Amen? Did you know the devil never takes vacation? They're on round the clock. 365, 24/7. Problem is too many Christians take vacations. That's the problem. We get into a lot of trouble. That's the real truth and reality, okay? Just because we had a little setbacks in our lives, it's not really time for us to sit back and look back. But it's time for you to come back and combat. We need to learn how to fight. Now, let me just share something more relevant that could really relate to us. During the time when we want to fight back, you know what is most discouraging? Is that the thoughts that enter in our lives, right? And I hope you have not heard this. Maybe devil whispering to you, you're a loser. You're man out to be nothing. And, you know, he wants to tell us that, especially Christian kids. You know, we got to be careful what we hear. You know, I have these things about eagles, Lord of the Eagles. And, you know, there's a scene. This is actually true. You know what eagles really do when the crows come to attack them? You know, crows, they fly in herds, but the eagles usually fly alone. Did you guys notice that? So the crows, when they attack eagle, they come in herds and they attack. And what does the eagle do? Bagag! And take a retreat. No, they don't do that. That's what chickens do. All right? You know, sometimes it's hard to soar like an eagle when you're surrounded by turkeys, if you know what I'm talking about. Eagles do not do that. They soar even higher, higher, higher. That's what eagles do. And guess what? When they reach a certain altitude, the crows no longer follow them. You know why? Because they cannot breed up in that zone. It's called a Christ zone. Come on, somebody. Amen? We need to stretch out our wings of faith, and we need to soar above and in beyond the storm. You know, we just flew about long 16 hours to come over here. But, you know, usually when the airplanes fly, they go over where the clouds are, and they go over, right? Even on the tropical rainstorms or whatever it may be, if the plane goes over that cloud, it's all sunny on the other side. Did you guys know that? It's going into his sunshine zone. But it will not happen unless we take a leap of faith and soar up. One of the songs I really like is the Kelly song. You guys know that song, right? I Believe I Could Fly. You know what I mean? Sometimes we need to really stretch out our wings and fly. We need to fight back and don't take and throw in our towel and take a defeat. Just sitting down. We need to get up. Turn to the neighbor and say, it's time to get up. And just because you had a little slip, don't worry about it. We all fall and slip down. Amen? Abraham Lincoln said this, it's a slip and it's not a fall. You know, you want to talk about falls in life? Abraham went through quite a bit. You know, I mean, you know how many times he ran for the Senate and he didn't make it? How many times he ran for the presidency? You know, matter of fact, his own sweetheart, he was about to get married, dumped him. And then he fell into this depression. And over six months, he was bedridden. But you know what? He fought back. He fought back. And he became president of the United States of America. Amen? We got to especially fight harder than especially time when things are really bad. We need to have some of that rocky spirit. I sometimes do that myself. You know, when things are not good and things are bad and very discouraging, you know, we want to stay down, you know? And you try to get up and you hear these voices whispering into your ear, right? Stay down, fool. If you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Mr. T, the devil. When Rocky was on the ground, the devil was talking to him. You know, Mr. D, stay down, fool. That's basically what happens. Did Rocky stay down? He did not. You know what? Some of us, we say this. I want to pray, but I cannot pray. How many have been there? Many of us, right? But that is a total lie. You know why? God helps us to pray as we pray. Unless you open your mouth and you pray, God's not going to help you to pray. And no prayer is going to come out of your mouth. As we open our mouths to pray, then God will help us to pray. But without praying, you ask God to help you to pray, and he's not going to help you to pray. Amen? It's about getting up, too. You know, one of the greatest encouragers of you is got to be you. Even you made a slip, even you made a fall, you need to tell yourself, just get up. You could do this. Get up. Amen? We are not made to become a victim. We are made to be a victor. The Bible says in Romans, we are more than a... Come on, somebody. You guys know the story, right? Amen? We got to learn how to fight back. Here you go. Next one. Now, I'm going to show you a story of my family, okay? I already gave you a little bit of heads up about this ego thing. It runs in the family, okay? All right. This is my family right here. That's my oldest daughter. Her name is Toto. No, I'm just kidding. That's Melo. That's my son Tuki, Luke. And that's the inspector Angeline on my right, okay? She's the inspector in the house. She goes, Daddy, I need to talk to you. I said, oh, I'm in trouble. That's Angeline, okay? Yeah. But you know what? My daughter Angeline is a sweetie. When I was going through all that ordeal, I needed to go on another mission trip, and I needed to go to North Korea. And she wrote this card and put it in my bag. How can we persevere? We need to look for the hands of God. But sometimes hands of God does not come in the way you want. There was a guy, and he was going through a hurricane, and flood came. And then he was calling out unto God, says, God, help me, right? And the police came knocking on the door. Sir, this whole area is going to get flooded. You need to evacuate. He says, no, I'm waiting for my God to come and help me. Next thing he came, it was the fire department with the boats. And they came and he says, sir, you need to go out because your house is about to go under the water. He says, no, I'm going to wait for my God to come and help me, right? And then third thing. Finally, the helicopter came because the water was almost above the top of the roof. And he still didn't go. I'm still waiting for my God to help me. Guess what happened to that guy? The fool died. And then he went up to heaven and he met with God and he says, God, I was waiting for you to help me. Why didn't you not answer me? Hey, fool, that's why I send you the policeman. That's why I send you the firefighter. Since you didn't listen, I had to send you a helicopter to have you evacuated, but you did not listen. Sometimes our way of receiving God's help will only come as you humble yourself. Time of perseverance is time of humility. Come on, somebody. Amen. We need to really humble ourselves in time of perseverance. If you read in the book of 2 Kings, there was a Syrian general. His name was Naaman. He had leprosy. Any of you guys remember the story? What happened to him before he got healed? Prophet Elijah told Israel's servant girl to go tell him, right? To go wash in a Jordan River 7 times. And obviously we all know, right? 7 is a number of perfection, is a number of God. Told him to go wash. He could have said, hey, you know what? There's a lot more better, cleaner rivers in Syria. And I'm not going to listen to this 6, 7 year old servant girl come and telling me I'm the general of Syria. We do that all the time. Amen. Bible says in the book of James 4:6, God gives grace to the humble, and God opposes the proud. You know what? God really taught me that passage through my daughter, Angeline. She wrote this story, and look at what it says. Daddy, believe it or not, this is when I was kind of discouraged. Angel's encouragement letter to Dad. And then this is the first page. This is the second page, okay? This is what she writes on the letter. You are the best dad in the world, okay? And here's the story to show it for Daddy Calvin. This is the inspector writing this thing here, okay? She was only 8 years old when she did this, okay? And then here's the story. On my left, or right, there are, you know, little munchkins or little eaglets. They're saying, Daddy, we're hungry. And Daddy said, I know. Then he brings the food. And they go, yeah, 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 go, Daddy. All right? Yeah. Next one. I cannot catch a snake. And Daddy catches a snake, brings it, and the little eagle says, thank you, Daddy. And Daddy says, you're welcome. Here goes a little, this one is not in the Facebook, he's studying, okay? Daddy, I need help. And the daddy comes and teaches him, and oh, I got it. Thank you, Daddy. That's the story, okay? This was kind of telling the story about what Daddy is to her. There you go. Other dads look like that. This is Calvin the Barbarian. From the kids. Our daddy's a special. He's an excellent songwriter. You know, when I was writing music, I've been writing music for 10 years. This is many of my friends and people told me, hey, Calvin, just pull teeth, man. All right? Forget about the music. All right? All right? And it says, he never gives up. He's always there. He's our daddy. My daughter was telling me, Daddy, this is who you are. Don't let your circumstances tell you otherwise. That's what she was telling me. Are you with me? When we could get discouraged, we begin to hear things differently. Amen? And my daughter, God used my daughter, 9-year-old daughter, 8-9-year-old daughter, to speak to me. And when I read this, I felt like, okay, God, I got your message. That he was telling me, Calvin, you need to get up. That's what he was telling me. Maybe some of you today, God is telling you to get up. Hallelujah. The very final and the last. How many of you guys know what this is? This is a structure, molecular structure of laminin. How many of you guys ever saw this structure? Just a few? Okay, so then let me share. It was not about the suffering thing, so it's okay. All right? This is the molecular structure of laminin, okay? And this is the electronic microscopic view of laminin. Isaiah 41 verses 10. The Bible talks about God upholding us with his righteous hand. We need to remember that when we go through trials. If God helped you one time, he's going to help you again. Are you with me? The problem is we are not faithful, but he's always faithful. Amen? That's what we need to really remember, okay? This structure is a laminin, and this makes up the cells that are in our body. If you read in the book of Colossians, 2nd chapter, the Bible talks about where all things were held by him. There's times in our life we feel like we are falling apart. Isn't it true? I had those kind of incidences happen. This was another year. Every time I'm about to go on a mission trip, something's happened. 1 week before, this was about to take 12 mission team to go into Myanmar to do medical mission work. 1 week before, I got a call. It was my sister. It says, Calvin, you need to come to the hospital right away. And I says, what's the matter? And then she says, mommy's about to pass away. I says, what happened? And she says, well, she was walking in, and she resided in this adult, you know, the elderly, what is it, assisted living hotel. That's where she lives because she's under medications, so they need to watch over her. But as she was walking, something happened, and she fell, and she hit her head on the rail, and she fell into a coma, just like that. And we had this issue, and of course, I'm the favorite boy of the family. And she says, Calvin, you need to come over here, and you need to be at mom's bedside. That's the kind of news I got. What will be our normal response? Okay, I'm not going on this mission trip, right? Yes? Come on, be real, be honest with me. That was not my answer. I told Devil, I said, Devil, I am going even my mom passes away. I'm going. So you could do whatever you want, okay? And then I got on the car, and I drove to a hospital, which is about 30 minutes away, and I put on this song. This song was given to me by this Spanish worker that is in my office. Her name is Sister Angie, and her mom passed away due to cancer, and that song really encouraged her. It's about God's faithfulness. And the song goes like this. Tu fidelidad es grande. Tu fidelidad incomparables, nadie como tú, bendito Dios, grande es tu fidelidad. It's about faithfulness of God. How big is his faithfulness? So I had this song playing on my CD player, and I was not having a pity party. Come on, somebody. I was having a praise party. I got on the car, and I was driving there, and I had this song. I had tears pouring down, and it was somewhat raining, too, and my windshield wiper was going, so I had to wipe some of my tears, too. You know what I mean? And then when I got to the hospital, my mom was breathing, but she was asleep. She was in a coma. And, you know, doctors told my sister that your mom's not going to make it through tonight. That's the news that came to me when I went there. I had a lot of situations. So what did I do? I told the people, I said, can you excuse me? And I told everybody to get out of the room. And I shut the door behind them. And then I knelt down on my mom's bedside on the hard floor. I grabbed my mom's hand, and I began to pray. And I said, God, I got to go to this mission trip. There's people waiting on the other side for us to come. There's people dying over there. There's people hungry over there. We need to go over there. God, you need to take care of your business, I told them, so I could take care of my business. This time I said that to him. Wow, that's pretty good, huh? Guess what happened? Nothing. Sometimes we pray, nothing happens. So what do? Give up or pray more? Pray more. So I pray. To make the long story short, I was in the hospital for 3 hours. And guess what? Me and God and my mom, we had a Holy Ghost revival in that place. After the 2 hours over, my mom's consciousness came back. And then she looked at me and she goes, "Sir, who are you?" She did not recognize me. And I knew she might have some brain damage because of the bleeding that happened in her head. You know? And I said, "Oh, Lord." So what do I do again? I got on my knees. I prayed. By the time third hour was over, my mom looked at me, shook my hand, because I was praying and I had tears coming down my face. And she said to me, "Hey, Calvin, when did you come?" That's what she said to me. God is faithful. Amen? God is faithful. Especially times when we cannot go on anymore. We cannot endure anymore. His righteous hand is going to uphold you. Right now, in my spirit, I see the Lord has hands on three people in here right now. And you're in that situation. If this is you, just so nobody will see your attention, just speak to him inside. He's right there. And I know where he's at with you right now. Okay? Hallelujah. You know what? I believe this is a very good time to not have a pity party, but have a praise party. Amen? Everybody on your feet, please. Hallelujah.
Come on, man.
I worship you, I worship you, the reason I live is to worship you, ooh, ooh. I worship you, I worship you. I worship you. The reason I live is to worship you. We honor you. We honor you. Lord, we honor you in this place. We honor you. The reason I live is to honor you. Ooh, we honor you. We honor you. Lord, we honor you. We honor you. The reason I live, let's keep going, is to honor you. We praise you, Lord. 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 The reason I live is to praise you, Lord. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. The reason I live is to praise you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. I believe God is about to do something in this place. With a heart of thanks, just praise him. Hallelujah. The reason I live is to praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We We praise you, Lord. In the reason I live is to praise you, Lord. Just keep ministering in the back. I want everybody to just close your eyes and bow your head for me. Hallelujah. If things are well for you, praise God. But there are some people in here today, your brothers and sisters, they are not well. I want you to at least at this time, just join me on a prayer of intercession. Just lift up all the brothers and sisters who may be going through difficult times at this time. And if someone that you know is going through that, maybe you just call on their name in the spirit and just begin to pray for them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's just go to God. And just begin to pray. Hallelujah. Everybody just close your eyes. Hallelujah. 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 Like to do at this time is if it's possible, maybe just first two rows of the people just come out to the side and just push the chair back, okay? And we want to spend some time praying for each other, and I don't have to do all this by myself. You could help me. Amen. One thing I do not like is spectating. I like participating. Amen. The Bible says one will chase 1,000, but two will chase 10,000. Amen. So I believe there are some people that could really use some prayer and ministry, okay? So just let's just worship the Lord. You are my God. You are my God. You're everything to me. There's no one like you, my Lord. No one like you. Put the songs up. You are my God. You're everything to me. There's no one like you, my Lord. No one like you. Let's everybody lift your hands to heaven and worship with him together. You are my God. You are my God. You're everything to me. You're everything to me. There's no one like you, my Lord. No one like you. You are my God. You're everything to me. my Lord. No one like you. Keep singing it.
I can't go in there. So if this is pertaining to you, I'd like you to just come forward and just kneel down right here, and I want to personally pray for every one of you that are going through. You know, sometimes we just need that extra hand. We just need that extra encouragement. And I came here to do exactly that. Listen, one of the greatest enemies you need to be careful is about your peers, people looking at you. And you know what? They are not there in your turmoil. Don't worry about them. Amen? This is a good time just to come, and let me just pray for you. Does everybody just come? Just go ahead and keep lifting it up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just kneel down and just pray. Hallelujah. This is what I want the people in the back to do. Just stretch your two hands toward the people in the front. We're all going to minister together. Amen? Yeah, there is a lot of people. And you know what? One thing I do not want you to do is certain people may have certain situations. Don't talk about it. Don't make fun out of them, okay? Did you know so-and-so had that kind of problem? You know what? It's a very delicate thing, okay? Just quietly. You know, that sister that I spoke about this morning, that you've been having a lot of flashbacks, you're sitting in here right now. Please come and let me pray for you. And I hope God's going to deliver you from that, okay? So if this is you, just come right here. That's all I will say. I will not talk about any other thing. There's a reason why that happened to you. But let me just pray for you and set you free today. Amen? So if this is you, just come right here, see behind my right, and then I'll pray for you personally. Amen? So let's everybody, let's go to God and let's pray. And you know what? If you have some place to go, and you need to leave, just quietly leave out through the back there. You're not obligated to stay here the whole time. But you know what? This is just the beginning. I don't know what God's going to do in this place. Amen? So if you want something fresh from heaven, I advise you to stick around, because that's coming. Hallelujah. Amen? Hallelujah. So let's everybody go to God and let's everybody pray. Okay? Hallelujah. Paul. This will come. Hallelujah.